It's The Broker Show. We're talking real estate, investing, local market trends, feel-good stories, mindsets, and strategies for success. Let us know what you want to talk about, and chances are we will. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
And welcome back to The Broker Show. On The Broker Joe, it is so good to be back in the studio. I am here with Etch, and yeah, Etch.
How's it going?
It's going awesome, man. You know, I went on vacation.
I heard.
Yeah, I was gone. Longest one. Like,
jealous.
Ever. Longest one, like, ever. It was a combination. We went down to R4. It's a big conference event, coaching, workshops, all kinds of stuff. Took about half the office down or something like that. And then we stayed in Florida, enjoyed that warm weather.
So jealous.
Beautiful.
Right now.
It was beautiful down there. Caught Florida. Some, went offshore or inshore fishing. Some saltwater fishing. That was really fun.
Did you catch anything cool?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's like the crapshoot when it comes to those kind of expeditions, if you will. So you could catch something like COVID, or you could catch like a really cool shark that's got like these massive teeth things that are like...
Oh! It's so true. When you're fishing in the ocean, you never know what you're going to pull out of the water. That's what's so... It's incredibly exciting, especially when you're inshore fishing and fishing where we are. Mm-hmm. You're not fishing particular species. You're just throwing live bait out there and we'll see what pops up. So my 8-year-old caught a jack crevalle, which is a really, really fun fish to catch. It was a pretty good size one. Took him quite some time to get it in. But he landed it. He got it up on the boat.
That's cool.
I mean, little assist from dad, but
for the most part.
And then we had dolphins. We actually had dolphins come up next to the boat. Mm-hmm. The kids start hollering. We went out once with two kids, and they start hollering and screaming, and they're leaning over the boat yelling, and the dolphins were into it.
Oh, yeah.
And they hung out right next to the boat, kept circling us for about 30, 40 minutes. So it was pretty fun.
So is it like in the Gulf?
It was on the Gulf side, on the Gulf side, just down in we go usually Fort Myers, Cape Coral area. Yeah.
Beautiful area.
It was fun.
Did you try those junior breakers that I told you about?
I did, brother. So Etch hears that I'm going on vacation, and Etch is like, Joe, I used to live in Orlando. You should hear Etch's story. He was a boss down there, killed it down there. But he's like, there's this place called Junior Burger, and you got to check this out.
So good. Colombian style burgers.
Colombian style
burgers.
Way
different than a regular.
So I went down, and we had to. We went out of the way to go there. And so we go in, and they were amazing. Everyone wanted, just couldn't even drag themselves to the car. We ate so much.
That's the problem. Food coma times 10.
I got a triple, right?
You got a triple?
Yes,
seriously?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh. And it had everything on it. So I took a picture, right? And I'm like, what do they call it? I'm an official Google guide because I travel so much. Been to 30-something countries around the world. Love to post pictures and reviews and all that. And so when I post pictures, now there tends to be people that are watching or...
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I really don't pay attention to it. But that burger picture that I posted has 33,000 views.
Holy cow.
Just that picture.
That's crazy.
It's only been 2 weeks or a week or whatever it's been. Isn't that insane?
That's crazy.
I couldn't believe it.
I'm telling you, they were one of the best burgers I've ever had in my life.
Of the, I believe, 400-plus pictures that I've posted over time, that is the number one picture
in
2 weeks.
Every
time. In 2 weeks.
All you got to do is find a good burger. And everyone's like, what is that? Oh, my gosh.
I guess so. I think they should award me stock.
Absolutely.
Or interest, ownership interest in the company. I mean, clearly, I'm a legitimate contributor.
Yeah, maybe a franchisee. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe someday this is your calling.
Yeah.
You know, real estate dries up.
We'll bring him to Western Michigan, baby. Let's go.
I'm in.
Let's go.
God, I'd never leave.
Chick-fil-A first, though.
Yeah, I'm in with that, too. Love that some Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. So today's topic, what do we got, buddy?
So we have heard back from some people. Billy out there. Billy says, Joe, I want to hear more about flipping. Couple others, same thing. I want to hear more about flipping. You guys freaking love flipping houses, or at least the concept, the idea of flipping houses. I think there's a lot of people, Etch, that... when they think of real estate investment, they got their, maybe they bought a house, they're building equity, they're excited about that, but they're like, man, you know, what can I do to put my toe into the water and see what it feels like, right? And so I think there's people that are positioning themselves, whether it's they're building equity, they're saving cash, whatever the point is, finishing school. They're positioning themselves to get into the flips. And I think that's really, really smart. We've talked about flips before on episodes. We actually reference it here and there throughout. Yep. So we're going to talk flips today. And what we're going to name this episode, flip or flip out. Okay. So clever. Oh, clever. How much do we pay those marketing guys? Thousands to come up with that.
Something
didn't we?
Like that, yeah.
No, I came up with that in a dream. But flip or flip out. So we're just going to talk a little bit about flipping today.
Cool.
So we'll jump right in. I mean, we talk about discipline all the time. Mm-hmm. I said before that the number one key to personal wealth and personal success, I believe, is self-discipline.
Yep.
If you have discipline, then you can do just about anything in the world. But flippers, they're because you're flipping a house, you're taking over a project that someone else deemed too difficult.
Right.
It's the first thing you got to realize.
Yep.
Someone else looked at it and went, I'm not doing that. Someone else can do that.
Not worth my money.
Yeah,
I want to dump it into that only to just get rid of it in a couple of months, and it's their headache, not mine.
I've listened to a lot of flippers, and when you watch them on TV, they show the highlights. They'll create a ceiling collapsing to kind of create some. And so it really doesn't give – a lot of it is true, but I think the true picture is there is a lot of unexpected, and there's just a lot of challenges. And it isn't that any challenge is impossible. It's that people aren't used to bullying their way through challenges. Mm-hmm. They're not used to going, okay, the buck stops here. I got to figure this out.
Yep.
And we got to figure it out in the cheapest way possible.
Yeah.
We got to figure out where it's going to be effective. Mm-hmm. It's going to fix the issue to where it'll hold up the resale value, the aesthetic, all those things, but it's got to be affordable, right? So you got to have discipline. You can't panic. I'm going to legitimize some people out there. A lot of people, they come to me, they want to interview for a job or be an agent or whatever it is, and they're expecting to hear all the fluff, and that's not what I give them. I give them the tough reality.
Yep.
But I'm going to give you some fluff. There's this guy. I heard this guy's story recently. His name is John Wooten. He's a biology teacher in Kentucky. Hmm. Okay. Biology teacher, full-time.
Yep.
And John decided 5 years ago that he's going to start trying to flip houses on the side with no extra income, no side hustle, no nothing. So this guy, he does the research, he watches the YouTube videos, he listens to the podcast, he does all this stuff, and he goes, okay, I got to start somewhere, right? So I'm not going to belabor you with the whole story, but today, 5 years later, with no outside investment, I mean, he got investors involved, right? He's using equity, he's leveraging equity, yep. right? But he owns 18 units today. Worth well over $1 million.
Wow. Right?
And so John is just a microcosm of the many successful people yep. that have said, I want to do this. And they approached it smart. They attacked it. They got through the challenges, right? They learned so much. And then they learned from others that have been there before them, right?
Sure.
And so, yes, I want to tell you, it is possible to work a full-time job, to run your other career, and to be successful flipping houses. Just like John. So let's talk about it a little bit. I want to get back to this thing of tackling challenges. You have to be creative. You have to think outside the box, right? So I have a really good friend here. We work together, and he is and hasn't been doing it forever, right? But he's flipped plenty of houses, and he's really, really good at it. One of the unique things, capabilities about him and his wife, they work as a team, is they find ways to solve really difficult problems, right? Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of challenges, and it's the unique stories and the unique approaches that he has to finding the resource that's needed for the job, okay?
Yep.
Because flipping's not easy. There's one stat that I saw out there some time ago that says 90% of flippers are one and done. I don't know if that's true. That sounds really extreme to me. But regardless, yeah, right. The point is that a lot of people get into it and they get right back out of it, right? They just get discouraged and
find that it's a lot more than they expected. Because let's be real, as soon as you dive into something mm-hmm. like that and you tear that floor up, mm-hmm. you tear the carpet back, then you see what was hidden.
Correct.
You're like, well, I didn't know that I had to do this. What all these? I thought it was natural. What mm-hmm. under here? It's all rotten.
Yep.
Now I got to replace all that. I got to mm-hmm. redo the subfloor. Too much. Put it back down. Slap some carpet over it. Or this one's going to just be one that we just break even on. And exactly. I don't have any money for the next one.
Exactly. Experience creates it creates this dictionary, creates this resource, this mental resource that you can go back to and draw from over and over again, right? And so every unique problem you face, you find it's difficult the first time you face that problem. Really challenging. You don't know who to ask. You don't know who to talk to. You know what? Sometimes don't even know the questions to ask to tackle this, especially if it's a forum that you've just got no experience at all. Electrical, for example. I mean, I work construction, but it's just an area that I never touched, even when I went to school for it, right? I just never touched it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's areas that you've got to find, you've got to have resources, develop resources that can do the people that can do the things you suck at.
Right.
Okay. Because there's going to be things you suck at. Oh, you're not going to be good at all. So really, what is the flipping all about? It's really your deployment, your allocation deployment of resources that you have to develop, right? You have to develop the resources. So I think people go in, they're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to do it myself. And inevitably, you're going to run into some serious challenges. You can do it all yourself. You can learn it all. But I think the end goal is to develop contract relationship with contractors, realtors, whoever else is in that industry that can help complement your process.
Yeah.
Right? Can help come in and do those things that would other that it would take you three times longer to do.
Yep.
Right? And so, because the end goal is if you do one flip, you want to do another one because the first one is going to be the toughest one.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be the toughest one.
Well, it's a learning experience, you know? Because so often I think that people get going on it and they hit that rock that's in the road that they're like, okay, now I don't really know exactly what I'm doing with this. Yeah. So I'm just going to do it. You know what? This line was off just a little bit. This thing is bigger than the other. It's not looking just right, but you know what? It's good enough. No one's going to notice. And for me, I'm that person that as soon as I walk in, I'm like, that line is off.
Oh, yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Or, that grout was a little bit thicker than this one. I notice those things. And while most people are so excited about it, because I forget what it's like when you're touring the house. Yeah.
They do.
That they're just like, whatever.
It's
most
easy
people
to forget it.
You know?
You get so immersed in what you're doing. And when your own blood and sweat is in the wall, you feel differently about it. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, you have to be objective.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be really objective. Yep. And there's people walking through and they're looking and they're not, they don't care how much blood and sweat you put in. They're looking at the finished product.
Yep.
And they're looking for an excuse to discredit your work.
Yep.
Right? So. But talk to the experts, pick their brain, save time, money, and heartache. One place I'd recommend, go listen to, and I mean, this has got to be, you know, your number one podcast. I mean, obviously the Broker Show is where you go for your real estate resources.
So it works. Hello.
But if you were to run out, you listen to every podcast we've got 15 times and you're like, I need something else. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You finally moved to somebody else.
Go to Bigger Pockets. Bigger Pockets podcast is fantastic.
Cool.
It's been around forever. I believe they're on episode 470, 80 something. I mean, years of content, tons of interviews, tons of experts. They're fantastic. They are a great resource. I listened to them for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. It's going to suck at first. But you'll get over it and you'll learn a lot and you come out a better human with better world experience. And the second flip, third, fourth, fifth, it gets easier and easier as you go. But what I encourage everyone to do is think outside the box, go out there and shake some trees. I know this sounds terrible. Some people may disagree with me. I'm as a real estate broker telling you, go and drive around houses that are not on the market. Go drive around and see, where's that dilapidated house on the corner? How about this house back in the woods? How about this? And don't go trespassing, right? But I mean, I've heard a lot of creative stories about people finding gems here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's off market. It's not for sale, right? And even houses maybe you can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a house, I'm not going to be buying this house, but I'm going to look into it,
right?
Because it's comparable to the price range of the location, the style that I like, maybe what I want to emulate. So study houses, be familiar with the market. Mm-hmm. But people, when they list their house, is because they want to get top dollar. They want exposure to they want the agent's experience. They want exposure to the over 1,000 websites that we reciprocate to and nationwide. So many resources that's what they do. They list it. They want exposure.
Can I just say that I like exposure?
Exposure.
That's a great word.
They want exposure
because it's like the explosion of so much exposure.
Put that in my next marketing presentation.
There you go.
Explosure. Thank
Explosion.
You. Capital
great
P-L-O.
If I could put that up as a caption right now, I'd be like, dude, that was the greatest ever. What an exposure. We need more exposure.
Thank you, Ash. Thank you. So people list when they want more exposure and they want higher sale price. When you for sale by owners off market, average 17% less money in their pockets nationwide. 17%. Wow. Yep. And so the thing is, you want a deal because you got to get a deal. There is the 70% rule in the flipper industry. The 70% rule says that you don't want to put or buy more than 70% of the resale value of the home into it.
So right? Break that down.
So 70% equals cost of the house mm-hmm. plus the repairs or upgrades that you need.
Yep.
That's the given rule, right? 70% gives you room for to pay interest in your if you're borrowing money, gives you room for the unexpected.
Sure.
It creates profit margin, right? So 70% is a really healthy rule. So how are you going to create the 70%? You got to find a good deal. You got to find a good deal. You can't manufacture course, it. Yeah. You got to find a deal. So best place to find a deal, off market home. Something sitting around. So something that, yeah,
go ahead. Do you just like walk up to the house and be like, I'd like to buy your house.
So I've literally, so on my end, so as a real estate broker or real estate agent, through the years you run into times when a client can't find what they want or wants something very specific that's not for sale in that area, mm-hmm. in that market, right? Or the type of home. So then the next step you take is you track down that owner. You send them a letter, you get in touch with them some way, shape, or form to say, hey, I have interest in your home. I am serious, qualified, pre-approved, cash in hand, whatever your pitch is.
Right.
And say, here's what I'm thinking. I'll make this painless. I'd love to take this off your hands. You do that enough, you're not going to win with everyone. But if you do, if you pick 10, you're going to get one out of 10, maybe two or three out of 10 if you present it right. And you get better as you go, right?
So do you suggest let's say average Joe goes around and mm-hmm. this person wants to flip and they're like, you know, I'm going to take that advice.
Sure.
I'm going to look around for a bunch mm-hmm. of houses. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a broker.
Yep.
I'm not a real estate agent, nothing like that.
Correct.
But it's something that I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. actually that's something I would try to do.
Yeah.
So do you suggest me coming to you as a broker and saying, hey man, this is what I'm looking at doing. I've got 5 houses that I went and scouted out.
Yeah.
Can you do the legwork for me?
Yeah.
So that's what you'd suggest doing, and then you.
I would recommend that if it's an option. So I will tell you this: the vast majority of realtors, and I'm not realtors are not they're fantastic human beings. Work with them every day, but a lot of them, especially in this market, they don't want to waste their time and resources looking for off market houses. Right? Tough job, a lot of time, right? With an uncertain outcome.
Yep.
And so you got to find a realtor that you, and go and partner with them. Tell them, listen, I'm going to list this house with you. Again, I want to maximize my profit. I'm going to list it with you. Here's what we're going to do. Let's work together.
Yeah.
Help me find, and maybe it's a partnership. Maybe the person's driving around says, hey, here's 5 addresses. I need you to track these people down.
Right.
Send them letters. Because the seller too wants an assurance they're not getting scammed.
Yep.
The real estate agent brings legitimacy into the process and says, "Hey, here's what the buyer's willing to pay. I've got their proof of funds. We'll whip together title. We'll close in 2 weeks, right? Or whatever the process might look like,
right?
So
I mean,
yeah,
if me as a homeowner, all of a sudden gets this unsolicited letter being like, hey, my name
is
Marty, and I would like to buy your house. Can we talk?"
Right.
I'd have an explosion in my brain of being like scam artist. You know, this guy's trying to scam me out of my house. If I let this happen, he's going to go and check it out, and there's going to be an explosion of stuff stolen off my property.
Absolutely, absolutely. you got to be careful. You have to be careful, especially now. There are a lot of flippers that try a lot of different techniques to pick up houses, right?
Yep.
But what this is what I recommend. Just go familiarize yourself with the market.
Yeah.
Go drive around. Be creative. Think outside the box. Because the first step is finding a good deal.
Yep.
Give yourself plenty of margin to work with. Because you're going to make a lot of mistakes, right?
Yep.
And so you want to at least break even. Mm-hmm. Breaking even on your first one is a win in my book.
Oh,
it's a
win. I would think so, yeah.
Right? It is. So, I mean, the rougher the better, right? The more you have to pick your spots, this is where we're talking about experience, right? Got a bad foundation, stay away from it, right? That's big, big money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So there's just some things you want to stay away from. If you're right next to the airport and the ground shakes every time a 747 flies over top, probably a reason, right?
Yeah.
Right? You want to target an area that you can turn into the gem that buyers are looking for and willing to pay that top dollar, right? So we can't cover everything in one chat. I'm just taking a little different angle today on a few things that people might not think of.
Sure.
There are so many online courses out there, so many flipping experts that flip 2 houses, go start a program, and they want $1,500 of your money to go online for a week. And some of them are probably great. Some of them are probably not. So just I would create local relationships. Etch.
Sure.
If you can create a local relationship, and don't drive them crazy, right? Don't drive your agent crazy, because you want them to hang in there with you, you know. But you need to pick and choose your places,
right?
To engage with them, say, hey, here, I need guidance, I need direction, I need counsel or advice, and it'll work really well.
Yeah.
Remember that, you know, 90%. This is a fact I know is true. 90% of businesses in the United States fail in the first 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and I'll submit this: it's because they can't handle the mental part of it.
Yep.
For every problem, there is a solution.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds very cliche. You've all heard it before. But it is the truth. There is a solution for every problem. The reason people don't get through to the solutions and get to the win on the other side is because the mental stress involved is very taxing. Growth is taxing. It's stretching.
Mm-hmm.
It gets old. It gets tough. But if you're mentally prepared and you count the cost ahead of time and you're prepared for what's going to come, right? That proverb, don't build your castle in the sand, man.
Yep.
You got to count the cost, right? Mm-hmm. You got to build something that's going to be on a good foundation. And so that's really just so important. You don't have to be the smartest, the fastest, the most connected, but you got to be resilient and you got to be willing to grow.
Right.
So create a team around you. I mean, Jordan couldn't do it by himself, right?
Yeah.
Jordan needed Pippen. He needed everyone else.
Absolutely.
So, and you don't have to be Jordan. Just get on a winning team. Get a winning team around you.
If you're LeBron, you can be yourself.
I guess.
You need you.
Absolutely. 50 points a game.
Right.
Yep. So
ball hog.
Yeah. I think that's it for me today, Etch. Any final thoughts here?
I mean, I think that flipping, coming from somebody who our first house together, yeah. my fiance yeah. and I, was a flipped house.
Yeah.
And you say that, you know, your first one's going to be the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Second one is going to be, you know, yeah. better. Based on what I've seen and I've had to work on.
Was their first?
It was their first. And I hope to God it was their last.
Oh, no.
But
Don't be that flipper.
Like, I've talked to our neighbor, and he's like, honestly, man, he goes, it was the fastest flip I've ever seen happen.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can tell. There was a lot of things. I mean, and the thing about it is that we corrected them.
We
corrected a lot of the mistakes that mm-hmm. were made. And you know, a lot of it was just cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
But there were some things, like, for instance, in the front doorway, they raised the carpet up on mm-hmm. The landing of the stairway mm-hmm. that goes right out the front door, and they put carpet, and they put you could tell they just put a subfloor on top of a subfloor.
I see.
So it raised it up so that the door would barely, it was like,
trying to get
over the carpet, which was starting to wear it down. I said, you know what? Tearing it out. Tore out the carpet, tore out both of those subfloors, put a new subfloor in, and then put brand new linoleum down, basically.
Yeah,
because I'm not overly worried about that area. It's like, okay, cool. You got some really nice linoleum out there now. And stuff that you wouldn't even be able to tell. But there are little things like that, you know, and because in Big Rapids, everything is built on clay.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime, when that stuff shores up and gets hardened, your house settles and moves, and it cracks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
This guy thought it was a great idea to just put caulk throughout them all.
Nice.
And then just try to paint over the
caulk. Very nice.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, now we have to put in a bunch of the, you know, drywall mud with the tape mm-hmm. and everything and refix all this stuff. So that's what we've been doing. And I'm like,
I think if you flip, you need to flip. There's a difference between not knowing what you're doing and learning through it.
Yeah.
And then there's flipping without a moral compass.
That's this person.
Okay. When you flip without a moral compass, that's when you put caulk in the cracks in the foundation. Mm-hmm. Even though you know this is not a legitimate solution to a very legitimate problem, you're going to do it simply because of the visual cover-up that it creates, right? And it draws attention away.
Mm-hmm.
That is... You've abandoned morality for the sake of turning a buck, and that's too bad.
Well, I believe
it's really too bad.
Heavily in karma, and when important things still come to our mailbox with his name on it,
mm-hmm.
they just don't seem to be returned. They just are like, oh, weird, that's not my name, throw it away.
Right, right. You know? Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. Honestly, I don't even know what his name is.
Sure.
I couldn't tell you.
Sure.
I just
okay.
I'm not committing mail fraud.
You're not committing mail fraud.
It's a joke.
Okay, total joke. Yes, absolutely. Great example.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It's usually his ATT or ADT stuff. Security. I'm like, this guy, whatever.
Yeah, so
I got four dogs. I don't need security.
Yep. Keep your moral compass about you. And that is really a big part of going that extra mile, right?
Yep.
Is making sure there when you're frustrated, that's when you make mistakes.
Yeah.
That's when you make, and that's when you gloss over something that's a very real problem. And the thing is, you need to find a solution. When you find the solution, you learn it and figure it out, you've got that information archived for the next time you face it, right?
So can we say that it's safe to say if you're doing a flipped project with your spouse and you're starting to get on each other's nerves?
Yeah.
Don't overlook important things because you're just trying to just get away from that.
I think that would be a great thing. I think you've got to build in white space etch, you know. So, you know, you tend to lose your temper right around 1:30, 2 in the morning.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Or 7 o'clock when there's a kid who's screaming that they're still hungry.
And oh, you haven't gotten dinner yet. Sure, absolutely.
There's that too. Not everybody can be the games, you
know. A live-in flip is a whole different ball game. I know another couple. Yeah. That's how they do it. Mm-hmm. They move in, they fix one room in the bathroom and maybe a little of the kitchen, and then they move in and flip the rest.
Yep.
That takes a special kind of human being, and I really credit them for doing that. I've done that three times.
I tell you.
And we survived, clearly, and our relationship is stronger because of it. Mm-hmm. But, the scars and the wounds.
She said some stuff, man. It hurt me. It got me really
I'll
hit,
never
bro.
Forget that.
Well, I gotta hand it
sometimes
to
it's so convenient. You have a sledgehammer in your hand already, you know? It's just like, that's terrible. Yeah, you can edit this
part.
You're
talking about taking the wall out, not the person.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wall that you just got done painting? Yeah, here's a hole. It's cool. Generally, it's probably your wife, my fiance, that would probably do us both
exactly,
in.
Exactly, yeah.
Because we're the annoying ones, of course.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It's my wife is all the common sense in the family.
Oh, that's totally. I was just going to say, I give 100%. Oh, there goes a light.
Yep.
that means, shut up, Etch, get out of here. apparently, that means the show's over. No. But really, I got to give a lot of props to my fiance for doing it right.
Yeah.
Keeping us straight and keeping, you know, everything moving forward.
And, narrow.
Yeah, I mean, she's the rock when it comes to that stuff. She knows.
Cheers
a lot.
To the ladies, Etch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys. Cheers. Well, hey, next episode, we're going to do something different.
It's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to this.
It's going
to
be a fun one. So what we're going to do is we're going to use an online random topic generator.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
And it is going to pick a random topic for Etch and I to discuss. I promise you, it's legit. I'm a little nervous. Okay?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? All right, we're gonna rock it. Etch is ready. So I'll just watch and laugh. So we're gonna hopefully hit, I don't know, 5, 10. We'll see. There's no script. We're just gonna pick a random topic. We're gonna have a blast at it. So please tune in. And of course, if you haven't already, we'd love you to like us. We'd love you to follow us. We'd love you to smash the like buttons on Facebook at The Broker Joe. That's Instagram. Excuse me. Facebook is The Broker Joe. And you can go on YouTube and follow the Broker Joe Show as well. So
got Twitter.
And Twitter's on there. And then of course Spotify is amazing. I'm on Spotify all the time, listening to other people. Mm-hmm. I can't stand to listen myself much, but that's okay.
You'll
and
get there.
and so go on Spotify, follow us, and we love to hear from you. We talked about today because we got legitimate requests. People want to hear more about it. So hopefully you took a little something away.
Yeah.
And we'll chat about it more in the future, I'm sure. But for now, we're over and out. We will see you next week.
On the flip side.
On the flip side.
So cheesy.